The other thing to talk about, the other big topic of the day to talk about is experience tools. You will have all noticed that experience tools have been on a simulator RC for a while, and that's making progress. We're going to be sometime real soon now, almost certainly well before our next meeting. I don't like to give you dates because I'm almost always wrong when I give you dates, so I'm not going to give you a date. But we are going to announce the beginning of a beta program for experience tools. We're going to make an effort to make it pretty inclusive and available to people. And there will be a project viewer at the same time. The project viewer, per our normal practice, will be the source will be public as soon as the project viewer ships, and we'll start in on developing the beta program. So we've got a couple of people here, I think. I'm scrolling around. Troy, are you here? Somewhere?
I am here, yes.
Troy is here, and Dolphin is here, who they're responsible for this, to talk about what experience tools are going to be like, what is going to be happening. Don't pester them about dates. They're not going to give you dates either, but we're going to be doing stuff. My big point is that when this stuff comes out, if you want your users to be able to take advantage of it, it's going to be something you're going to want to integrate and release pretty quickly. I expect that the beta program, not instantly, don't do anything rash, but it is something that people are going to want to use. If you don't have support for it, they won't even be able to use it as a user, much less as a creator. So that would be a good thing to be paying attention to and trying to get into a release as soon as you can. The beta program will probably last quite a while, several weeks at least. So it's not like we're going to be throwing something out and saying, do it now, but expect your users to be asking for it. So Troy, you want to talk a bit about how this is going to work?
Yes, sure. Can everybody hear me? That's okay. Great. So as Oz mentioned, we are going to be releasing this really soon. There's the simulator component, which is already out on Magnum, but the viewer is it's very close. And what the gist of experience keys does is allows a creator were to create an experience. You guys are probably familiar with the excessive permissions pop-ups, this object wants to do this to you, do you accept? We have a single point of opt-in where a user can come up to an object or maybe enter a region perhaps that has an experience running, and they are given a dialog box that tells you what exactly the experience is and if there's one running. It has a link to experience profile so they can learn more about it. And when they feel comfortable, they could say, yes, I'd like to opt in. So at that point, all of the objects and just the experience in general running, they will no longer be bothered by these excessive permissions dialogues. That way it keeps them immersed in the experience that's running. If they choose that, let's say, oh, this doesn't sound like an experience I'm interested in, they could forget the experience, and it's different than blocked. Forgetting basically just says, oh, I read this, and this isn't what I wanted to participate in at this time. If they know for certain that this isn't something that they're into, they can block it, and they won't be bothered by any of the objects anymore. It's actually persistent. So if you were to log out and you were to come back to the same region at another point, if you blocked it, you won't be bothered by the dialog boxes, but if you did accept it, you won't be bugged by it either. So it's pretty cool. I'm trying to read through here the chat here. Effect on things like soul-seized HUD. What exactly is soul-seized HUD? Can you explain?
It's not specifically the HUD, actually, but there's been it's an exploit from years gone by that basically a script that's been given permission to animate an avatar can retain that permission unless it is reset. And what griefers do is they'll trick someone into sitting on something, and then unsit them and it brings that object to their inventory. And then by resing that object, they can put animations in it and it will animate the target. And the target has no countermeasures to... Yeah, it's old school. It's been around many years. There's been many Jiras. Linen Lab has tried fixing a few times, and one time they broke all the chairs in Second Life trying to fix it, and they gave up. So basically the question is, will this address that?
No, unfortunately.
Okay.
This is more for creators who are behaving, right? Who want to create meaningful experiences for their fellow residents or, in some cases, customers. We've heard of a lot of different ways people can use this. So it's not limited to games or whatnot, although it was originally designed to create more game-like experiences. You know, if this were to get into the wrong hands, let's say, you know, we do understand and appreciate that it could possibly be a big griefing vector. Now, that's why we give users the ability to block. And if you were to block an experience, none of the animations, attachments, or any other scripts that are associated with that will no longer be valid, and at least to your avatar. And we also included an easy way for people to report objects that are malicious. So let's say, for example, somebody wrapped up a big bowl of candy and says, "Come over here and have some candy. It's free." You click on it, and all of a sudden, there's a bunch of malicious scripts. You know, the user can quickly go in and go into their experience floater, block that particular experience. They can report it. There'll be an actual button there that they can report. The script, and it pops up the abuse report that also fills in, you know, who the experience owner is, what the experience ID, experience key ID is. That way our support folks can actually, take the necessary actions against that particular script and or person. So we've tried to do as much as we can in terms of getting, to soften the griefing vector. But I'm sure our residents will come up with something crafty and we'll fall back on the report, the abuse report.
Let me just quickly enhance that. There's also a way to see what experiences have been doing to you. There's a way to display what's responsible for the fact that you got teleported or for the fact that you got animated, right? All those are experience events that are recorded, and there's a dialogue for you to see them in.
Yeah. Kind of mentioning this terminology that we have, basically with an experience, you can, once you've accepted it, any permissions dialogue for the list of permissions that experiences grant will automatically be bypassed as if you had clicked yes on them. If you want to see that message again, you can go to the experience profile and click forget, and then you'll kind of see that pop up again. And the third option would be to block an experience, and that will basically, anytime a permissions pop up is shown to you, would be essentially like automatically clicking no on that that pop up, and without you ever seeing it. And then, in addition, any scripts that got permission via experiences will lose permission and get notified that the person that they currently have permission with has revoked their permission.
Can I ask a hypothetical? Let's say you guys are finished the job, you've got experience tools out there. I know the tendency is to then just sort of close that chapter and move on to something else. Can we be assured that as abuse reports come in and exploits are found, that Linen Lab will go back and patch those up as time progresses?
Yeah, that's certainly the intent, and part of why we'll be doing a beta program is we expect that some of that sort of thing will happen during the beta program. But it's like any Second Life feature. I mean, if there are serious issues with it, we'll try to fix them.
We have a mechanism in place that we've had to use, and it seems to work so far so good, that if it, let's say the violation was something really, really bad, and we thought the only action, course of action, would be to shut that particular experience down. Those experiences have a key assigned to it, an ID, and we can simply just go in and revoke that key, and all of the experiences will be shut down.
Yeah, because like Trinity says, like Media on a Prim was widely requested for many years, and when Lindlamp finally did it, because of its exploitability, the perception was it's risky, and so it sort of never got adopted, which was a shame.
Yep. Another thing I want to mention is that right now we're kind of testing the waters and figuring out how do we give these keys out. Now, some of the things we were thinking about was, we were going to make this thing, a key is only available to, say, a certain type of member, right? And we haven't decided yet, but this is something that, could either be a paid option, maybe your premium member.
Good idea.
Yeah, so that way it kind of already weeds out, any of the riffraffs that just want to go in and grief. I mean, if somebody gets their rocks off wanting to pay money, to get this perk, we'll figure out a way to still ban them. We can still revoke that particular key or license.
That's a great idea, because that would also encourage content creators to get premium accounts again. I think that's a fantastic idea. Do it. Go for it. Absolutely.
Troy Worley had a good question about the relationship between experiences and land ownership. Can landowners block experiences from running on their land?
Reading the chat window, 1 second, sorry. So the question is, if a landowner does not want to participate in a particular experience, do they have the ability to block an experience running on their property? Did you guys hear me?
Yeah, right. So Dolphin, can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, we do have the option of having grid-wide experiences, but at the beginning, at least, we're just going to have experiences that have to be explicitly whitelisted to run on an estate. If we do start offering grid-wide experiences, we also will have the option to block those on a parcel or an estate. So the regular experiences have to be explicitly allowed. The grid-wide experiences can be specifically blocked. On mainland, they will have to be done at the parcel level. For private estates, there is also an extra option that you can do, that you can make if your estate is private, you can allow people who are active in the experience, they can come onto your land, so you can make sure that you know that you have this elevated set of permissions on anybody who's not explicitly on the allow list. And if they block the experience, they will get teleported away also. Regarding group ownership, experiences will be owned by a single avatar, but they can associate the experience with a group. And there are two new group powers that go along with that. The first is an experience admin, which lets you edit things like the name and the description, basically edit the profile. The second is an experience contributor, and anyone who has that role in a group in a group that's associated with the experience is also able to create content for that experience. So in that situation, anybody who has the ability in the group to add roles to people would be able to control who can contribute scripts to that experience.
So as you can imagine, at the very least, you're going to want to be able to provide your users reasonably quickly with the ability to accept and forget and block experiences, and then of course to support creators. There's a bunch more stuff and there's some things for landowners. So as Dolphin said in chat a while ago, a lot of what you'll want to support is UI, I know that you all feel it's necessary to completely redo most of the UI that we provide, and you know, you should obviously feel free to do that, but you might want to take it our way, just to get it out the door relatively quickly, and then rework it later.
Well, in some of our cases, our UIs don't merge, period, so we have to sort of do our own take on it, but we'd have the same options. As long as we get the code quick, like early enough.
Right. Well, the code will come up when the beta program starts and the project viewer is available. So you'll have it and can begin working with it, you know, as quickly as you want to. You know, I would suggest that it's not a good idea to call it a released thing until we do, because we might change it. Let us get the arrows in our back on this one. We're going to move that along as quickly as we think is prudent. We're going to have a couple of experiences available that people can, you know, go and participate in and accept as part of the beta program. That'll be out there right away. And then in terms of, you know, what other people create during the beta program, you know, it will depend on where they put it. So we'll have a couple that are out there. We aren't going to be handing out experience keys, that is the ability to create experiences, you know, generally during that time. It's going to be more restricted than that, but that'll all be in the beta program announcement. There'll be some that you can test, that you can go to an experience, right, Troy?
Yes. I just want to throw out a quick thing about the sample size. So we just chose a dozen because we wanted to start small. We imagined there are probably going to be a lot of things that we may have overlooked, if possibly. So I think really what we're going to try to do is just sift through all of the applications, or at least the inquiries to participate, listen to what kind of experiences they're trying to create or convert, if they've actually had an existing experience, and we'll just kind of go from there.
Have you guys run out of questions already?
I think we're just sort of soaking it in. It sounds pretty good. My biggest concern is just security.
I don't really know what an experience is, so I cannot answer.
Yeah, we're going to need, I think some of us are probably drawing little bits of blanks in our mind of exactly what it's going to be. I hope it's going to be simple enough. Yeah, it kind of needs a picture. Yeah. I hope it's going to be simple enough that the average user, the layman user, will understand it, be able to use it, be able to create keys and that kind of thing.
I think that they've done a pretty good job on the usability, and I've seen the draft version of the beta program Torley video, so it will all be in there. But I would say that the simplest way to put this is it's a way to bundle all the annoying permissions dialogues that scripts end up hitting you with into once at the very beginning, would you like to do this set of stuff? You get to say yes once, and then nothing bugs you anymore, ever. It's just, you have said, I want to be able to participate in this amusement park. You can participate in the amusement park. And later, if you decide that you don't like what that set of scripts is doing with that bundle of permissions, you can say, I don't want these scripts to be able to do that anymore. And none of them could do it anymore. Right.
Debit, Trinity has a point. Debit permissions. Does this also apply to debit perms?
No, it is not.
Okay, good.
Debit permissions are still going to happen exactly as they do today with completely separate dialogue from the regular permissions, and people will still have to opt into those every single time.
Right. But as Worley said, it does cover auto-attaching and temp-attaching objects, teleports, that kind of thing.
The permissions are all or nothing for the experiences.
And I would really encourage you guys, though, to consider making it a premium account feature for people who create the keys, the experience. I think that would go a long ways for revenue for Linen Lab, and also for the experience for the end user who isn't going to be griefed by.
Yeah, we definitely don't want people to make throwaway experiences so they can grief people. We want to have a, you know, a somewhat of a barrier of entry to it to make sure that, you know, the majority of people that acquire one are going to want to use it legitimately.
And one of the strong features of the whole program is that experiences are traceable to their creators, right? So if we're getting a lot of complaints about a particular object that's acting through an experience key, we can trace that back to who got issued that key, right? I mean, it's not ambiguous.
So the viewer side of this is basically this list of experiences you have granted permissions to and the ability to select one of those and remove it, right?
That's the really key part, yeah.
Yeah, the majority of the viewer side changes are managing this list of experiences, searching for experiences, and then the last piece is actually associating an experience with an individual script. So there's a change to the script editor also where you pick which experience you want associated with a particular script. There are additions to the script editor floater and the estate management panel and the parcel management panel. And then everything else is new floaters. The group profile should be fairly trivial to add. It's just a new name. There isn't any new management UI or anything for that. It's just another field in there. So that the group management UI should be fairly easy to implement.